name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and 2, as previously read. In 2002, shortly before his death, country music legend Johnny Cash, who's a personal favorite of mine, released his last album. And on that album, one of the most notable songs was a song that it actually wasn't even his own song. It was a cover song, a song called Hurt. And in this song, you could see a man, not what he once was, a man now frail and gaunt, looking back on his life, lamenting at what it had all become. You can see in the music video a man looking back at his fame and fortune and success and seeing it all later riddled with demons and divorce and drug addiction. The most famous line of this song goes like this: "You could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down. I will make you hurt." There's something captivating about watching a great and weary old man at the end of his life looking back on his life and regretting the things he had done. It's like a man coming back from the future. Maybe it's your future to tell you, don't do the things that I did. This is how it turned out, and I regret them. Well, this song connected with people so much that after his death, this song Hurt, that wasn't even Johnny Cash's own song, went on to win all kinds of awards, like the best single of the year, the best music video of the year, all kinds of country music awards that Johnny Cash hadn't won like in the last 40 years. Well, today we're not here to talk about the king of country music, Johnny Cash, but we can see in him a modern-day replica of the king that we have before us today. And that king's late-in-life memoir that we might call the Book of Ecclesiastes. It's a book about a king taking a look at his life from late in his life and regretting it. Looking back on all the things that he had done and seeing what they amounted to. And at the end of this book, we'll see that king finally coming to the meaning of it all. So the book begins, "The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem." Now the title of the book, the word Ecclesiastes, it's really just a Greek form of the Hebrew word that means the teacher, the one who teaches people, the one who gathers people to teach them, the one who collects wise sayings. And the author of this book has traditionally been understood as the actual son of David, King Solomon, although there are some who will debate to no end and to no purpose that it must not have been King Solomon who wrote this book. But the words and the events that Solomon describes in this book do perfectly fit with what we know of King Solomon during his life. See, early in Solomon's life, God had come to him with a promise to give him really whatever he wanted as a blessing for King Solomon as he began to lead the people. Solomon couldn't have asked for whatever he wanted, wealth and the death of his enemies and a kingdom like no other. But Solomon asked for something truly God-pleasing. He asked for a discerning heart and wisdom with which to lead the people. And God was so pleased with this request that he granted it to Solomon. He gave him wisdom and a discerning heart so that Solomon became the wisest person who ever lived. And on top of it, God granted to Solomon all the things that he didn't ask for. He granted to him wealth like none other and a kingdom more powerful than any other in the world and the death of his enemies. God granted to Solomon all of these things. It seems like things must have been off to a pretty good start for Solomon, the wisest and richest man to ever live, to ever be king, but you wouldn't know it from the way that the book of Ecclesiastes starts out. We hear Solomon cry out what we might say is a theme of the book, vanity of vanities, everything is vanity. The words of our NIV translation try to put meaning to that as they say, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. Another translation tries to capture the word picture behind it. The ESV says, nothing but vapor. Everything is vapor that vanishes. It's like a cold breath of wind on a cold day. It's here and it's gone. It's like a misty fog in the morning. It only takes so long before that fog disappears. Everything turns to nothing, we might say. Well, why is Solomon so depressed? He had everything that he could possibly want. He had wealth and wisdom and riches and a kingdom and palaces and gardens. Well, that's the point. He had it all and it didn't make him happy. He didn't find contentment in those things. He certainly tried. He went looking for happiness in everything and anything he possibly could, in wealth and wisdom and gardens and parks and palaces. At the end of it all, it did not make him happy. It didn't amount to anything more than Johnny Cash's empire of dirt. Hear what Solomon says about it all. I have seen all the things done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. It's like trying to catch a napkin blowing away in a hurricane. You're just not going to get to it. It's like chasing the wind. And here's why Solomon finds everything so meaningless. Well, because he's not going to take it with him. He's going to have to turn it over. Solomon says, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. Solomon isn't just talking hypothetically here about somebody else's possible wealth. It seems he's talking about his own and all the wealth that he had that was going to be turned over to the ones who came after him. And in those cases, they were not very good or wise kings. King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, did not turn out to be a very good king. And the king who got the rest of it, Jeroboam, he didn't turn out so good either. And this was all because God had actually made a promise to Solomon that this is what was going to happen because Solomon's heart turned away from the Lord. We hear in 1 Kings chapter 13, the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Although he had forbidden Solomon to follow other gods, Solomon did not keep the Lord's command. So the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude and you have not kept my covenants and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Nevertheless, for the sake of David, your father, I will not do it during your lifetime. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. Yet I will not tear the whole kingdom from him, but will give him one tribe for the sake of David, my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So the Bible tells us how Solomon's wealth and his whole kingdom was going to be torn out of his hands and handed over to the next guy. Everything was going to turn to nothing. Everything that Solomon had worked for under the sun was going to be handed over. That's a key phrase that Solomon keeps using throughout this section, that phrase, under the sun. By it, we can understand how work, when you're outside sweating and working and toiling, well, the sun, that makes that hard. It makes it hot and sweaty, and it makes work hard. But by that phrase, under the sun, Solomon also seems to be referring to people who live their life under the sun, as if from the perspective that they're living without God, like there's nothing up above the sun. So Solomon repeats that phrase 6 times throughout this section, talking about how bad life is under the sun, because a person can live and work and amass their wealth, and they're just going to have to hand it over. And all the while, this is what they get. All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This, too, is meaningless. So what do you think? Do you still want to try it? Do you still want to get rich or die trying? Do you still feel like you might be able to carve out some little piece of this earth where you can retire with your nest egg far away from God and be able to be happy with it? Do you still want to go off and sow some wild oats and blow some cash like King Solomon did or like the prodigal son? Will you still believe that, like another country song says, well, maybe money can't buy you everything, but it can buy you a boat and a truck to pull it, and that will make you happy? Or will you take Solomon's words for it, that it won't? Hear the despair in his voice as he laments about it all. When I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. Chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. See, everything turns to nothing when it's without God. And it will for you too if you try it. If you try to make your cabin or your boat or your fancy house or your 401k into your God, well, who's going to save you when you turn those things over to the person that comes after you? Because those things will not save you. Jesus says to that person that makes something else their God, Jesus says, you fool, this very night your soul will be demanded from you. And Paul encourages us in Colossians, put to death whatever is worldly in you, whether it's lust or greed. It's because of these things that the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. So if none of those things are going to deliver what they promise, then where do we find anything that's not meaningless? Where do we find any meaning in this life? Well, finally, Solomon breaks character. You see, he's been lamenting and remarking about all of this from that perspective under the sun, from the perspective of living without God. Well, finally, he turns the corner and gives us a few 2020 hindsight insights that bring meaning to our lives. Solomon says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Nobody can. That's the whole point. We can only truly enjoy anything when it comes through a right relationship with our God. See, to the person that pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. And how do we become pleasing to God? How does God consider us to be pleasing to him? Is it the wealthy and the famous, the rich and the powerful? That the people who work their butt off every day, day after day, those people God must consider good. No. The Bible tells us, blessed are the poor in spirit and the meek of the earth, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the spiritual beggars who receive their everything from the hand of God in Christ. It's not to the one who works for it, who earns it. It's actually the opposite. To the one who doesn't work, but to the one who trusts God, who justifies the ungodly. Their faith is credited to them as righteousness. That is the only way that God will ever consider any one of us good. When it's without a spiritual nickel in our pocket, and that's what God delights to do. God sends his son to be the ruler whose origins are from of old, the one who is greater than Solomon. He sends that son to step into our place and to make us good and righteous in God's sight. That's the only way that we can become good and pleasing through the son that God sends to stand in our place. And under that son and in his kingdom, life becomes good. And we get to reign like kings from another place as we get to eat and drink and find satisfaction in our toil. We find true contentment in life under the Son, who has taken away our sins and given us everything we need for a bodily life. That is how focused living properly values earthly wealth. And on top of it, God gives us this extra promise. He says, all that money that the wicked, they store up, well, I'm going to take that and hand it over to the one who does please God in order to take care of them. Now, if we go back to the matter of Solomon, a man despairing about his life, a man looking back with regret, was that the way that it stayed? Solomon died without God. At the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, it seems that God brought Solomon back. He brought him back from life under the sun to life under the true sun. As Solomon closes the book of Ecclesiastes, we see him find true meaning. We see him find his God once again. Solomon says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Solomon ends his book calling us to repentance, calling us to believe and to fear the God who makes us wise for salvation. Solomon calls us to see once again the God who brings meaning to our lives and to believe in him. Hear the call that Solomon makes in the book of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep his commandments. Trust in the God who has made you good and wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.
Hey, thank you so much for spending some time with us and worshiping with us online today. We are so glad you fed your faith through the work of Mount Olive, and we'd love to know that you fed your faith. So head on over to MountOliveAppleton.com and click the online friendship register, or just click the link in the description here. It takes about 1 minute to fill out. Thanks so much for spending time with us. God's blessings on your day.